John chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. This is the reading of God's Word. After these things, Jesus went away to other side of the Sea of Galilee, or Tiberias. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs which he was performing on those who were sick. Then Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near. Therefore Jesus, lifting up his eyes and seeing that a large crowd was coming to him, said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these may eat?" This he was saying to test him, for he himself knew what he was intending to do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for everyone to receive a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has five barley loaves and two fish. But what are these for so many people?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. Jesus then took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed to those who were seated, likewise also of the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, so that nothing will be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the five barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing of your word. Oh Father, we pray that your Spirit will work in us, enabling us to hear your voice through your word, telling us the wonderful stories of Jesus Christ, and showing us through your word what he has done and what he has accomplished for us, our heavenly reality. Let us see ourselves in Christ. Let us see ourselves in a glorious city, heavenly city, our eternal home, so that we may know what your Son has done, what your Son has accomplished for us. And that will bring so much joy to us, and it will demand all of us to live that glorious life, life of heaven, life that belongs to our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When we had our last Lord's Supper, we had begun looking at John chapter 6. And we will continue to look at John chapter 6 today. We have concluded last time that the story of the feeding of the 5,000 is a preview of the Last Supper at the upper room, a day before our Lord's death on the cross. Jesus' teaching in our chapter is the same teaching we find in the story of the Last Supper. Chapter 6, verse 54, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Verse 56, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." At the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus gives bread to the people, and he relates the event to the giving of the manna in the wilderness in the Old Testament. And he taught us, and he taught the people there, that the two events both point to himself. He is the living bread that comes down from heaven. Just as in the Last Supper, here in the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus gives himself to the people. Also, we see in the story that the new Exodus has begun in Jesus Christ. The perfect Exodus, the Exodus from this world, has begun. Back in Old Testament, God led his people in the wilderness as his sheep. And he gave them the manna, the bread from heaven. Now Jesus comes as the good shepherd and leads his people and gives them himself, the true manna. He leads and makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside quiet waters. He prepares a table before us, and our cups overflow. The Lord is my shepherd, and I do not lack anything. Do you remember the problem of Philip in last sermon? He could not see the reality of heaven in the event of the feeding of the 5,000. He could not see the reality of Jesus leading his people to green pastures and preparing a table for them. Story is not just about Jesus satisfying people's physical needs. You must see the reality of heaven. God's people are invited to Jesus' table and seating with Jesus Christ, their Lord, and eating and drinking with him. The supper of heaven, the banquet of heaven, is now reality. The Lord's Supper, which is prepared for you today, you must not be like Philip. You must participate with the knowledge that spiritually it is happening in heaven. You are invited to Jesus' table in heaven, and that is exactly what is happening. But it's like Philip, if you don't see the reality of heaven, then all you see is just little bread and little cup, which amounts to nothing. Just like if these people at the feeding of 5,000, if all they see was some bread and fish that would satisfy their physical need, a few hours later, it amounts to nothing. You're hungry again. You're thirsty again. And that's all is to it. Then it's nothing. So how are you going to come to this table? Like Philip? Or with faith that you see the reality of heaven? Verse 10 says, have the people sit down. You see, it is a meal. It is a supper. People are coming to the table. And remember, they are not coming to an altar, like some would say. We're not sacrificing Jesus again. They're coming to the table of Jesus, and they sit with him and having a meal. And what is that picture, having a meal together? It's a fellowship. Now you are invited to his table to sit and eat. And from our story, we see the people sitting down. And look at what is happening. People are sitting down. And who is serving them? Who waits on them? It is Jesus Christ. Do you see that? Luke chapter 22 verse 27, for who is greater? The one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as the one who serves. He showed us the same humility when he washed his disciples' feet in John chapter 13. Jesus serves. Mark chapter 10 verse 45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Do you see it in the feeding of 5,000? People are exalted. They are exalted by God to a position of glory. When we read the story of the feeding of 5,000 from the other Gospels, we see Jesus breaks the bread and gives them to his disciples. We don't see that in John. It seems like if you read John, it's like Jesus directly giving this bread and fish to the people. But in other Gospels you read, they will tell you that Jesus breaks the bread and gives them to his disciples, and the disciples give them to the people. In the disciples, then, we see a picture of elders who distribute the elements to you. But like I said, in John, we read in verse 11, Jesus then took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed to those who were seated. John describes as if Jesus gives the bread to the people directly. And this is intentional. Yes. Even though the bread is distributed by the disciples, ultimately it is Jesus who gives. It is Jesus who serves. And it is the same in our Lord's Supper. Who serves to you? The disciples are participating in Jesus serving his people. The elders and pastors are participating in Jesus Christ our Lord serving you. If the elders and the pastors do not have this understanding, they should not serve you. Do this. Pastors and the elders are not doing this because they are in a higher position than you. Who is greater? The one who sits on the table or the one who serves? Who is greater? The elders and pastors are your servants. They're serving you. But you must not just see them serving you, but you must see ultimately Jesus Christ serving you. And whenever you participate in Lord's Supper, once you understand that, you must understand how exalted position that he raised you up. It's glorious. That's why, you know, when even Jesus, when he wanted to wash disciples' feet, disciples were saying, no. How can you do that to me? No. And this is how you should be. How can you, God, serving me? But that is exactly what is happening. Jesus is serving you. We're so blessed. And elders and pastors, we must have this understanding. It's not being in a higher position than you that we give these elements to you. This is supper. And you are sitting at his table, eating and drinking. And pastors and elders were serving, servants. Even Jesus himself is serving you. You are exalted to a position of glory. Do you see it? God is exalting you. God is serving you. And what is the message? You must do the same. All of you who participate in this meal must do the same. You must participate in the life of Jesus, the life of serving. You must imitate Jesus Christ in serving one another. Do you see what he is doing to you? You must do that same to others. God is serving you. God is waiting on you. You go out and do the same to other brothers and sisters. And this is the message. And, you know, pastors and elders were really guilty of not being able to give out this message as we serve you. We must have this attitude. But it's not just pastors and elders. All of us. We must live this life of serving. Because that is the life of Christ. We read about the story of manna in chapter 16 of the book of Exodus. And in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, God tells us this about the story of manna. He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Jesus is giving you the true manna. He is giving you himself, and the same test applies to you. God gave manna to the Old Testament people for what? It was a test that they might understand that man does not live by bread of this world, but we live by God. As he gives you the true manna today, there's the same test. What is your confession as you come to this table? Man does not live by bread alone. We do not live by bread of this world. Because that bread of this world, you eat of it, and you're going to be hungry again, and you will die. But the true manna, Jesus Christ, you eat of him. Even if you die, you live. That's the test. That's what he wants you to understand as he gives himself to you. And you must understand this as you come to the table. Otherwise, you're just going to be like Philip. You don't know what is going on. And you're not benefiting anything. Actually, there's this warning from God that if you don't examine yourself,
If you do not recognize his body, then you might be just drinking and eating your own judgment. It becomes harmful. And you must be careful. He gives you the true manna that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by God. God. What do you think? Do you live by the bread of this world? That if you don't have the bread of this world, then you think your life is over. By what do we live? See, you and I, we live by the true bread, our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we are even able to say, when I die, I still live. And if I live, then I live with Christ forever and ever. And sometimes we are called to give this message to the world. There will be so many opportunities in your life. What do you choose? The bread of this world or the bread of heaven? And we make that choice every day. And people around us, they see what we are choosing. But today, God gives you true manna so that you may know that the man does not live by the bread of this world. This is what you must understand as you participate. Otherwise, his purpose of giving you true manna, it didn't apply to you today. All of us who are participating in this meal confess that without eating and drinking with Jesus Christ, we are dead. We're just like dead. Just like non-Christians, they live, but they're dead. They walk around, but they're dead. There's no life in them. And God gives abundantly. Verse 13, so they gather them up and fill 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves, and they were left over by those who had eaten. Meaning what? In a typological way, in a picture here, 12 baskets of leftovers, meaning that everybody, they had enough, and everybody is satisfied. Because if there was anybody who were left hungry, there were 12 baskets full of leftovers that could eat. The picture is abundant blessing of God. He gives you abundant food for your eternal life. Oh, it's so important that you see the spiritual reality of this story. What is really happening behind the scene, if you will. Not just what your physical eyes can see, but what is really happening spiritually. I will end today's sermon with a story of Peter. You know, as you know, Peter, he is a participant of the Lord's Supper. And he was at the feeding of the 5,000.
And when you go to John, we're looking at John 6, but when you go to John 21, we see many similar things between story in John 21 and story in John chapter 6. Both are at the Sea of Tiberias. You know, chapter 21, verse 1. After these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. So we see then the location is same. And both stories, miracles on both sea and the land we see. And in both stories, we see fish and bread. In chapter 21, Jesus gives fish and bread to his disciples. And in chapter 21, verse 12, this is what we read. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples ventured to question him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. This is after his resurrection. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus was manifest to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus says to him, "Tend my lambs." Jesus says to him second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He says to Jesus, and Jesus says, "Shepherd my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Obviously, Jesus asked Peter three times because Peter had denied Jesus three times. And you remember how Peter was so adamant about even if he dies, he's not going to deny Jesus. Because Jesus predicted him. You know, he says, "You will deny me." Peter says, "No way I'm not going to deny you. Even if I die, no way." You know, my paraphrasing. So when Jesus was asking him, "Do you love me?" And third time, "Do you love me?" he was grieved because he was so sure before. Now he's not so sure. Why is he asking me over and over again? But here, our Lord is restoring Peter. He didn't come to Peter to rebuke him, to restore. But connected to our story of feeding of 5,000 and this whole picture of serving, you know, he does same thing that he did in chapter 6, here in chapter 21, and he says to Peter the message that feeding of 5,000 had in chapter 6. "Now you eat this fish and bread, and do you love me? Well, go feed my sheep." "Do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." "Then tend my lambs, feed my lambs." Well, feed them what? When Jesus says, "Feed them," what do you think he's saying? feed them fish and bread? Is that what we're understanding? No, feed them Jesus Christ. And how are they going to feed them Jesus Christ? Well, preach the Word of God. Because the Word of God is all about Jesus Christ. The Word, from the very beginning, there was Word. Word became a man, flesh. But when they feed upon Jesus, the life of Jesus is given to them. This is the whole point. See, you are coming to his table, feeding upon Jesus. As soon as you do that, the life of Jesus is given to you. And what was his life all about? Serving. And completely trusting and obeying God the Father. But for true Christians, this is not burden. This is honor. This is their joy. To live the very life that Christ lived. That's why even Paul, he was seeking to really know what is the participating in Jesus' suffering is all about. He actually wanted to suffer more because it was his honor to live that very life of Christ, to imitate Christ even in suffering. He wanted to imitate Christ more and more. So when Jesus requires these people who are coming to feed upon him to go out and live the same life that he lived, this is not burden. This is joy. This is honor. Well, that is what we see in the Bible. Time after time, these disciples and the people who loved Jesus, they didn't mind even to go out and die for Christ. Their whole focus was Christ, not the bread of the world. Do you see the point? How do you see? Philip, he saw as the bread and fish, the food of the world. And it was all about satisfying physical needs. And if that is the only thing you see, are you taking notes or what are you doing? You're taking notes. These days I gotta find out. Sometimes it's like, because if it's texting, then I'm really bothered. I'll tell that kind of person to, you know, go out, because why even bother to sit here if you don't, your intention is not worshiping God? Nobody begging you to come here and worship God. This is place of honor, place of privilege, place of glory, you know. Seriously, nobody is begging you to come here. But you're here to worship God. Chapter 21, verse 18. After he says this to Peter, he says this, "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go. Now this he said, signifying what kind of death he will glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. So look at this. After feeding Peter and say, go out, feed my sheep. He says what? Two things. Follow me. He says, follow me. And the other one, he says what? That when you're younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wish. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hand and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go. Now, this is very important, so I hope you catch this. Those who have feed upon Jesus Christ, to them, the exact life of Christ has been given to them. All of you who feed upon Jesus Christ, to you, his life has given you. You now participate in his life. You now live his life. You and I, we now live his life. God says to you and to me, follow me. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself. When you were younger, you did whatever you want. You girded yourself. You went wherever you want to go. But now you deny, you will be denying yourself. You're going to go where you do not want to go. And someone else will gird you. The same thing as saying, deny. You will be denying yourself. If anyone wishes to come after me, but this one, he's not saying to Peter, this one he says to you. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross. You remember what he says to Peter? He says that you will stretch out your hands. And Jesus said this, signifying by what kind of death he would die. So we understand that he died on the cross also. But he says to you, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross. And Jesus says to Peter at the end, follow me. And this says to you, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now you must understand that whatever Jesus said to Peter is exactly the same thing that he says to you. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. It's the same message. Now, it is all connected to this feeding of bread and fish. And if that is connected to our Lord's Supper, then this is about you. You come to his table. You feed upon Jesus. And now, what is required of you? What is his command to you? Deny yourself. Take up your crosses and follow Christ. This is what is required. All of you who participate in the supper, now you must go out and live the very life of Christ. You go out to serve. You go out to obey. You go out to deny yourself. You go out to take up your crosses, to follow Jesus Christ. Do you see Jesus Christ giving himself to you? Do you see him obeying the Father even to the point of death? That is your life.
That life is given to you. Jesus is giving you his life.
He empties himself. He pours out himself to you. He considers you better than himself. This life Jesus gives to you.
Brothers and sisters, God does not beg you, but I beg you, give yourself to him and to one another. Consider others better than yourself. Deny yourselves. Take up your crosses and follow Christ every single day. Because this is your life. And I hope no one here will misunderstand what kind of life that you have received from Christ. It's not about success in this world. It's not about healthy, wealthy life in this world. It's about living for Jesus Christ, living for God. And we're glad that that life is given to us. Eternal life.
So, brothers and sisters, you come understanding what is really happening and also understanding what kind of life now you have in Christ. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we give you all the glory, honor, and power. Oh, Father, what an honor for us to live that very life that our Lord has lived for us. That your call to us is to follow him, deny ourselves, take up our crosses daily, and follow him, to imitate him, to bring glory and honor to him. And, oh, Father, as we come to your table, bless us, pour out your grace that we may live that life. The very life that you have given to us to bring glory and honor to you. Oh, Father, but Father, we must confess our sins that we do not live that life. And we must confess also that we are not able to live that life only by your grace. So, Father, as we come to your table with faith, pour out your grace. Let us depend on you, trust you, hold on to you. Oh, Father, bless us so that your life will be manifested through the lives of your people. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.